Sons, you have each asked me a question in different ways, at different times, and I think for different reasons. It's the same question I've always feared, but always knew you would ask me one day. My oldest, I most clearly remember the night you asked me this question because, of course, you are the oldest. And I admit, I remember your younger years, okay, all your years, more fully than your brother's. It is one of the many curses of being the oldest. You're ever fixed in my memory like a frame of a movie as a child. The night you asked your question, you were 5 3/4. You never let me forget those 9 months and would yell across a playground or a parking lot or the dinner table if I was asked your age, correcting my rounding down. It was bedtime and I was reading to you from The Scallywagins of Oz, an obscure book we bought from the used bookstore. Though I was the adult, I stumbled over some of the words. You asked me why. That night I told you for the first time about my dyslexia and learning challenges. Your response was a single question. Are you normal, Dad? My middle boy, you asked the same question in a different way at a different time. But exactly when, I frankly don't remember. As a middle child, the memories of your firsts aren't as linear to me as those of your older brother. The details are blurred around the edges. The sleep deprivation from raising 2 kids has something to do with it. You still do things like wake up early and read the New York Times sports section cover to cover and solve advanced math problems for fun. You get those tendencies from your mom. But I do remember one morning, likely in the midst of one of your ESPN-worthy rants on the NCAA ranking system, you're stopping and asking simply, Dad, what is normal? And then, of course, there's my youngest. You're lucky I remember your name, which I do, even when I call you by your brother's, or your birthday, which I don't, but mommy does, so we're good. You have a voice like that of a 70-year-old who smokes a pack a day and an inclination to the absurd. So I do remember the crazy stuff you say, such as, if you didn't have a butt, you couldn't sit down. And the classic, chickens are very fast, but not in a bicycle race. I always remember clearly when you asked me about normal. We were having dinner at a Mexican restaurant near our house, sitting at the bar so we could watch sports. You pointed to 3 suggestive, okay, completely inappropriate, paintings of women as matadors, because we all know that bullfighting is best done in the nude, hanging above our seats. You made some hand gestures around your chest that, if you hadn't been 6 years old and cute, would have gotten us kicked out. Rocket boobs, you yelled, as half the bar turned to stare. Are those normal? You asked, and before I could muzzle you, added, why don't mommies look like that? What is normal? Am I normal? Are you? Are any of us? When each of you asked, I didn't answer, because I didn't know what to say. I had honestly hoped we'd be spared the conversation. That was naive, wasn't it? Because who doesn't, for so many reasons, ask themselves this question at some point or at many points in their lives? I did, and I still do. And while I couldn't answer you in the moment, I want to answer you now. Though you have not been labeled as not normal, as I was, I'm not naive. I know normal will come for you, it will shape you, and it probably already has. We're all up against normal because, as Michel Foucault, who, as you'll quickly discover, I've read way too much of, wrote, the judges of normality are present everywhere. He didn't stop there. We are in the society of the teacher judge, the doctor judge, the educator judge, the social worker judge. It is on them that the universal reign of the normative is based. And each individual, wherever he may find himself, subjects to it his body, his gestures, his behavior, his aptitudes, his achievements. Basically, he's saying we all live in a land governed by these judges' laws, and there's absolutely no getting out of it. All societies have struggled with normal, and as French anthropologist Claude Lévi-Strauss wrote, we have made the cultural problem of differences, anomaly, and abnormality central to every culture. Normal and its twin, not normal, are the fundamental problems of the human condition. We are all surrounded by institutions, systems, and cultural practices that demand and enforce normalcy. We all have to build a life and a self despite, around, or through the strict judges of normality's jurisprudence. I want you to be prepared. I want you to know how to live and thrive in a world that will at some point tell you, as it does all of us, that you're not normal because of what you think, how you look, who you love, how you learn, how you feel, how you behave, or what you believe. I want you to know that normality is a problem to be struggled with, to be resisted, and ultimately an idea to be rejected and replaced. And I want you to know, if those judges of normality wound you, like they have me and so many others, how to stitch yourself up and fight for a world that is not governed by those judges. When normal comes for you, I want you to be able to say what I couldn't when it came for me. Normal sucks.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.